This is the message that I would have done on March 15th of 2020 had it not been for the COVID-19 hiccup that we're all experiencing. So I want to start out with some thoughts on this COVID-19, or as many call it, the coronavirus. Got a message from Bishop Todd Fetters the other day, encouraging us as a church to be the church in the midst of this crisis. And after reading his long email, I had these simple thoughts that we need to be cautious. We need to make changes, and we need to plan for these changes and caution for a minimum of 30 days. So, be cautious, make changes, and plan these new patterns of life for 30 days. The first thing that I want us to do is to pray. It's come to my attention that a number of the major events that we've seen in the community and around the globe fit exactly into 2 Chronicles. And I'm thinking that maybe the point of this worldwide disaster is to get people to pray, to return to God in the midst of a situation that is so big and so pandemic that there is no better idea in people's minds than to seek a holy and righteous God. So, pray. The next thing I'd like to encourage you to do is to stay home. Stay home. Go only as a necessity. We are a highly mobile culture, and my normal day and your normal day is that we can go anywhere we want, anywhere, anytime we want, and do whatever we want. But I'm encouraging you to stop. Stop leaving your home. Stay at home. And use up those things in the freezer and the refrigerator and the cupboard that are about ready to go out of date. You may be hungry for or wish you had this, that, or the other, but use up the commodities that you have at home that are probably in need of being doing that anyway. If you do go out, I want you to separate. So stay at home, and if you go out, separate. My intention was to stick my fingers out side to side, and my wingtips or fingertips is just short of 6 feet. And that's as close as you should come to any human. Don't let them touch your stuff, your phone, your credit card. If they do, sanitize it. But separate. Stay 6 feet away from each other. Now, when you're staying home, you're probably going to get cabin fever. Fortunately, today is Thursday, and this is the first day of spring. So go outside and go for a walk. If you see people on the street or the sidewalk, stay 6 to 10 feet away from them. Don't touch them. Don't touch their dog. Don't get close to them. Just separate. And then I want you to sanitize regularly. If you are out anywhere, wash your hands regularly. Put a hand sanitizer into your pocket or wear surgical gloves. And don't touch your face under any circumstances unless you have sanitized completely. Now, I was going to have the worship team lead us in the doxology. And many of you have sang that in church before meals. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him of creatures here below. And you know the tune. And it's normally sung at a rather slow cadence. What I want you to do when you go to sanitize your hands is after the water gets warm and you're ready to start washing, start singing the doxology. And do it at the normal cadence and scrub and wash your hands until you have finished the hearty amen at the end of the doxology. That's how long you should scrub your fingers and hands. So, pray, stay at home, separate, sanitize. And my last idea is if you have symptoms, any symptoms, stay home. Call a medical provider. Don't go someplace because you have symptoms. They want you to make an appointment. They don't want you to just show up. And in many cases, they will help you walk through the path and the patterns that you need to do before you actually do go to a healthcare professional. So, I want you to pray, stay home, separate, sanitize regularly, and if you have any symptoms, contact a medical provider. So in summary, be cautious. This is a major, unprecedented event in our history. Make changes in your life. Don't live like you normally do. And plan to do this for the next 30 days. So, that's my public service message. And if we take a look at the book of Acts, the Acts of the Spirit, today, March 15th, I titled my message, Peter's Vision, Number 1. And it's taken from Acts 10, 9 through 15. My outline is Peter's vision. Point number 1, the Holy Spirit is bringing people to himself. Point number 2, Peter reacts like many of us do. And number 3, Number 3, God is opening the door to relationship. So last week, we saw an angel as real as anybody from a neighbor next door came to Cornelius. Here's what you are to do, the angel said. Send men to Joppa to get Simon, the one everyone calls Peter. This week, we get the backstory on what the Holy Spirit is showing Peter and what God is doing to bring us Gentiles into his kingdom. If you can get your mind to look at this section of Scripture as an interaction between the Jews on Team 1 and the Gentiles on Team 2, we score much better than the Jews do on this day, on this play. I don't know if you can get your mind to look at all of life like a series of plays, or like Cornelius, a series of battles. Some are bigger than others, but each day is a struggle. God, in all of his goodness, gives us some useful life lessons in our scriptures today. So, Acts 10, 9 through 15, and I'll read out of the NIV Reader's Version. It was about noon the next day. The men were on their journey, were approaching the city. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry. He wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, Peter had a vision. He saw heaven open up. There was something that looked like a large sheet. It was being let down to earth on its four corners. It had all kinds of four-footed animals in it. It also had reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "No, I will not," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything that was not pure and clean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not say anything is not pure that God has made clean," it said. The end. So Peter's vision, number one, the Holy Spirit is bringing people to himself. If we take a look at the big picture of our scripture, God is in the process of letting all people into his Jewish family. Up until this point, the church was strictly Jews. Now God is in a process of letting others in. A on your right line, outline. The Gentile men were obeying. Your blank is obeying. God comes to Cornelius in the form of an angel, tells him to do this, and he does it. Do you see in this illustration, God wants us to understand and then to obey? Think about it. How many questions did Cornelius have? How much time did he take to think about it before he responded? Cornelius and men and women who live like him are written about throughout the Bible, and Jesus is the best illustration for us. B on your outline. Peter went outside to pray. Homes in this part of the world often had flat roofs with retaining walls about waist high around them. In the heat of summer, they would have awnings over them to shade and to keep the roof cooler. Chris and I got to sleep on a roof like this in Cabo San Lucas on a motorcycle trip. C on your outline. The Holy Spirit uses ordinary events. There's no big deal about getting hungry, and the Holy Spirit uses this to help Peter see what God is going to do. Peter loves food. Some of his most notable life lessons are involved with food. One of them is around a campfire eating fish that Jesus had cooked after Peter had denied Jesus three times. Cornelius is used to people walking in with orders and instructions. So what does the Holy Spirit use with Cornelius? An angel who walks in and gives him his marching orders. Life in the Spirit may be a series of small events that he and you experience each day. Maybe it is just life in the little things. That may be what life in the Spirit is. So, point number two on your outline, Peter reacts like many of us do. Cornelius just does it. No questions, no hesitations. A on your outline, people tend to doubt God. Peter had a flesh pattern that many of us still struggle with today. A voice told Peter, "Get up, kill and eat." "No, Lord, I will not," Peter replied. Sometime back, Jesus had foretold his death and resurrection. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 and 23. I'm going to read this to you. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." That's the end of the scripture. Peter's tendency was to doubt God. Can you see Peter's flesh pattern? There's another illustration when Jesus washes the disciples' feet in the upper room at the Last Supper. The NIV translation of John chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 4 through 10 to you. Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean. That's the end of that passage of John. So, when Jesus foretold his death and resurrection, and when Jesus washes disciples' feet, let's say at these two events, the flesh patterns that happened were before Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, let's just say that he was saved then, but he wasn't as filled with the Holy Spirit as he is in our Acts passage. But in our Acts passage, no, Lord, I will not, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything that was not pure and clean. Here we see Peter, that he is so full of the Holy Spirit that he can heal people, raise people from the dead. If his shadow just passes across a sick person, they are healed. But even with that level of the Holy Spirit, Peter still struggles with flesh patterns. Isn't that interesting? Do we understand that there are two personalities here speaking with Peter? The NIV says the voice is an it. But in reality, it's a person. It's the Holy Spirit that's talking to Peter. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a person. So this person is dialoguing with Peter. Our Creator has set guidelines that he shared with us about the food we should eat. I wonder how well we understand them. In Genesis 3:2, the woman said, we can eat the fruit of the trees that are in the garden. So, the first guideline God has is most of what you put on your plate should be plant-based. God explained this to his first humans. Green is good. In fact, the darker the green, the better it is for his creations. Does that ring true with what the scientists and the dietitians are saying to us today in 2020? The next big food event was after the flood. Noah and his family were allowed to kill and eat animals. It didn't take long for humans to develop a love for the taste of meat. By the time you and I get here, this love for meat has become the center of our diet. Oftentimes the center of our plate. I think God wants meat to be a portion, but not the center. Oftentimes growing up, I can remember my mother saying, well, I have pork chops, and what am I going to put with pork chops for our dinner? But planned the whole meal around the meat. Now the next big food deal is with Moses and God's children. Here we see enter the word kosher, kosher foods. God had Moses write down patterns that are the best diet for his children. Here again, plants were the first food that he had. Second, he defined meats that were the best and the worst. There are some meats that he encouraged his children never to eat. Peter had been taught and would live by these kosher meat guidelines. Peter replied, I've never eaten anything that was not pure and clean. He means kosher. The Holy Spirit started his process of change with Peter when Peter went to live with Simon the Tanner. It was not kosher to live in a house with dead animals. Now we are witnesses to God's big change with food and with people. Be on your outline. Adam and Eve did this. So your two blanks are Adam and Eve. At first they obeyed God and walked with God daily, freely, openly, honestly, in an intimate relationship. But the Bible records for us in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7, and I'll read from the NIV. Satan was more clever than anyone the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the fruit of the tree in the garden?" So here in Genesis 3, we see in God's grand drama the entrance of doubt from Satan and the entrance of exaggeration from Eve. And this is the first time doubt and exaggeration enter the creation. So Genesis 3:3 says, God did say, "You must not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Do not even touch it. If you do, you will die." Satan said to the woman, "You can be sure you won't die. God knows that when you eat the fruit of that tree, you will know things that you have never known before. You will be able to tell the difference between good and evil. You will be like God." Verse 6, the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good to eat. It was also pleasing to look at, and it would make a person wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then both of them knew things they had never known before. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made clothes for themselves. That's the end of our Genesis passage. It's also the end of intimate, living, walking, loving relationship with our Creator. It died right then, right there. It must be born again. Jesus and His Holy Spirit came to help us get that back. God said, "You may eat of all the trees in the garden, but if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, you will die." So what is God saying? You can eat, you can do anything you want, but some things will kill you, even in your diet. Satan said, "You can be sure you won't die." So that's the first lie, and it was half truth. All good lies have some truth in them. Adam and Eve did die in their spirit right then, right there. But they did not die physically for hundreds of years. See on your outline, our Creator is a God of second chances. Our Creator is a God who loves mercy. Our Creator is a God who gives grace. Eve had just made the biggest mistake in all human history. Our Creator is a God who gives love. The Message translation of Genesis 3:15 says, God speaking, "I'm going to declare war between Satan and the woman, between your offspring, Satan, and her offspring." That's the end. Our Creator is a God who gives hope. And this is the introduction of Jesus. Jesus is the seed, the offspring of the woman, and her Virgin Mary some years later. Now, if we go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 15, the voice came a second time to speak with Peter. If God says it's okay, it's okay. This voice will speak to Peter a third time in our lesson next week. Thank God that Cornelius only needed to hear it once. In your life, aim at that. Aim to be like Cornelius. Now, Peter, on the other hand, will need three strikes. I hope we don't use those three strikes. My point is that less is more. Obedience early is better. As I've communicated with people about this coronavirus and staying at home and changing their path, often people say, "Well, I'll get around to that." Delayed obedience is still disobedience. When you hear what the officials are saying and the truth, change. Don't wait. The third point on my outline is God is opening the door to relationship. In Peter's day, some foods and some people were considered untouchable. We, the Gentiles, were the untouchables. God had waited until after Jesus had done his work of providing a way for his creation to be restored to open the door for us to enter into relationship with him. All three of them. Cornelius had a vision. It was a face-to-face conversation. An angel of God came to Cornelius. God gave Peter a vision. The common denominator in these two visions is that these two men had stopped all their other activities to pray. That was the same, but that's where the similarities end, because God is a creative God. Be on your outline. Peter had to unlearn what he had been taught. Before Cornelius could be welcomed into the church, Peter had to learn a new lesson. Strict Jews believed that God had no use for Gentiles. Peter and the Holy Spirit may have been working on unlearning these things before his meeting time with Cornelius. Some of us are like Peter in the process of unlearning things that we've been taught by well-meaning people. One of those in my life is about our experience with the Holy Spirit. I'm unlearning what some well-meaning people have taught me. The Holy Spirit is also working with some of us to unlearn what we've been taught about our diet and the way we eat. Change is very challenging. See on your outline, Peter and Cornelius prayed in a way that impacted and affected their experience of God. So they prayed in a way that impacted and affected their experience of God. I want us to pray like that. Some of us are in the process of unlearning things that we have been taught by well-meaning people about our experience of prayer and how the Holy Spirit is to interact with us in that prayer. Here again, change is challenging. Would you be willing to be open to changing in what you've learned about diet? Open to changing what you've learned about your experience of the Holy Spirit? Open to changing what you've learned about how to pray? Open to changing the way you live in the midst of this pandemic, COVID-19, coronavirus pandemic? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Father, thank you for your mercy. Father, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, thank you for the provision of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to help us this day in this way as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.